Abhunatu Sahaviryan Karavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Conclusion. Those who are bereft of your transcendental association, being just like foolish creatures, leave a place covered by water-nourished vegetation and goes in search of water in the desert. The conditioned souls wants to quench the thirst, but they do not know where to find water. They give up the spot where there is actually a reservoir of water and run into the desert, where there is no water. My dear Lord, I am no exception among these conditioned souls. I am falsely thinking myself happy in possessing my home, wife, children, estate, property, and friends. In this way, I am acting as if in a dreamland, because none of these are permanent. My dear Lord, I am completely incapable of controlling my mind, which is now driven by the unbridled senses and attracted by fruit of activities and their results. Therefore, my intelligence is very miserly. My dear Lord, your lotus feet cannot be appreciated by any person in the conditional stage of material life. Of material existence, but somehow or other I have come near your lotus feet, and I consider this to be your causeless mercy upon me. Right? So, getting the Lord's mercy, that's why we're involved in devotional service. That's actually what's happening. So, if we're involved in devotional service, means we have, to some degree, in some way, gained the Lord's mercy. So we shouldn't be thinking, when is Krishna consciousness going to happen? It already is happening. Right? Otherwise, why would why would we be here? That's the whole point. Okay. So, that ends this. And now, we have another one.
Yes.
Where is this other one?
Inside.
6, 4. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, the Summum Bonum, Study God Part 8. The Killing of Kamsa, chapters 41 to 44. Like someone else is being killed? The Killing of Jarasandha. That's the next one. Okay, table of contents. Chapter 41, Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. Chapter 42, the breaking of the sacrificial bow. Chapter 43, Krishna kills the elephant Kuvalayapida. Chapter 44, the killing of Kamsa. So chapter 41, Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. Pratigya, one who knows Krishna knows everything. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna entered the city of Mathura, enchanted the women, killed a washerman, and bestowed benedictions upon a weaver and a garland maker named Sudama. So is this from...
This is from BBT.
That's BBT, yes. Okay. Okay, so when it's from Vishwanathan, you'll mention it, and when it's not, it won't say anything.
Yes.
Okay. After showing his Vishnu form to Akrura in the waters of the Jamuna, and receiving Akrura's prayers, Lord Krishna withdrew that vision just as an actor winds up his performance. Akura emerged from the water and in great amazement approached the Lord, who asked him whether he had seen something wonderful while bathing. Akura replied, "Whatever wonderful things there are in the realms of water, earth or sky, have all their existence within you. Thus, when one has seen you, nothing remains unseen." Akura then began driving the chariot again. Krishna, Balaram, and Akura reached Mathura late in the afternoon. After meeting up with Nandamarj and the other cowherds, who had gone on ahead, Krishna asked Akura to return home, promising to visit him there after he had killed Kamsa. Akura unhappily bid the Lord goodbye, went to King Kamsa to inform him that Krishna and Balaram had come and went home. Because if he just stayed there, then Kamsa wouldn't know that he came. So he had to go and tell him. Right? Krishna and Balaram took the cowherd boys with them to see the splendorous city. As they all entered Mathura, the women of the city eagerly came out of their houses to see Krishna. They had often heard about him and had long since developed a deep attraction for him. But now that they were actually seeing him, they were overwhelmed with happiness, and all their desires due to his absence was eradicated. Krishna and Balaram then came upon Kamsa's wicked washerman. The wicked washerman. Krishna asked him for some of the first-class garments he was carrying, but he refused and even chastised the two lords. At this, Krishna became very angry and beheaded the man with his fingertips. The washerman's assistant, seeing his untimely end, dropped their bundles of clothes on the spot and ran off in all directions. Krishna and Balaram then took some of the garments they especially fancied. Next, a weaver approached the two lords and arrayed them suitably, for which he received from Krishna opulence in his life and liberation in the next. Krishna and Balaram then went to the house of the garland maker Sudama. Sudama offered them his full obeisances, worshipped them by bathing their feet and offering them such items as argya and sandalwood paste, and chanted prayers in their honor. Then he adorned them with garlands of fragrant flowers. Pleased, the lords offered him whatever benedictions he wished, and then they moved on. Right? So we see here is that the pastimes have now come into that aspect of has that flavor of the Aishwarya to it. And so then, you know, he's still with his friends, but it still has this other aspect. You come and how you deal, then you see immediately the good results, the bad results, all these different things like that. So you don't have that same kind of affection that you have in the other places. Here then, Sudama offers, then it's a very nice, pleasant exchange. With the others, then it has varying degrees of pleasantness or not. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses 1-6. Akura realizes that Lord Krishna is not merely his nephew. 7-8. Krishna postpones his visit to Akura's home. 19-23. Description of the city of Mathura. 24-31. Krishna captivated the ladies of Mathura. 32-39. Krishna slays the washerman. And 40-52. Krishna offers benedictions to the weaver and the garland maker Sudama. Verses 1-6, Akura realizes that Lord Krishna is not merely his nephew. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, "While Akura was still offering prayers, the Supreme Lord Krishna withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. When Akura saw the vision disappear, he came out of the water and quickly finished his various ritual duties. He then returned to the chariot, astonished. Lord Krishna asked Akura, 'Have you seen something wonderful on the earth, in the sky, or in the water? From your appearance, we think you have.' Sri Akura said, 'Whatever wonderful things the earth, sky, or water contain, all exist in you, since you encompass everything. When I am seeing you, what have I not seen?'" Srila Prabhupada states in Krishna book, "This statement confirms the Vedic version that one who knows Krishna knows everything, and that one who has seen Krishna has seen everything, regardless of how wonderful a thing may be." Footnote 1. "Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. Bhagavad Gita 15:19 and 10:41. Srila Jiva Goswami points out, having understood that Krishna was non-different from that form, now he considered all this to be Krishna's power. After Krishna mercifully asked him a question, and he gained further realization. Right. So he saw that he's not different from his form, and now he saw about how his potency, right? Because there's different aspects of realization than Dasamul. So then Krishna is the absolute truth. Then there's the aspect of him as the Lord of all his energies. So he had that first realization while in the water. Now the second one while he came back to Krishna, and when Krishna asked him the question. Whatever remarkable things exist on earth, in the sky, and in the water exist within you alone. They do not exist separately in water, on earth, or in the sky, since you are the root cause of the universe. Vishvat Make, giving shelter to it. Footnote 2. Whatever appears to be of value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.34. Right, so it appears to be in darkness because we think it's separate from Krishna. It's not actually; it's Krishna. So where can be the? Where is the darkness? Where there's Krishna, there's no darkness. So it only appears to be in darkness because we're not seeing Krishna. As soon as you see Krishna, then even the material world is not in darkness. Yes.
So we see Akura, the development of his realization. It starts from his meditation, then it confirms, you know, when he meets Krishna in Balaram, then in Braj. Then his way back, but it's within a very short period of time actually the whole thing happens.
Yes.
So,
because Krishna's time, so there's no problem. Things will go as quickly or not as Krishna desires. Plus, you have the aspect of that these are great devotees. So Krishna hasn't been in Mathuras for all this time, so they're at a particular level. Then, by the personal association of the Lord, then how quickly things move. Right, because you could say in one sense from bhava to prema is actually quite a distance. But how is that accomplished? By the association of the devotees, so that one's always absorbed in Krishna. Then that mercy, then you would get Krishna's association, and then it goes very quickly. Because we saw in this short time, right, he started the rasa dance when he's 8, right? And he leaves Mathura when he's 11. Right? So just in that short time that he's doing, then we see is that all these gopis have come up to that platform, that perfection, that platform of prema, right? And are acting on that platform. So it's not a problem for time, because Krishna being time and you're associating with Krishna, then things happen quicker. It's like how long was the rasa dance night? Yes, so therefore, then Krishna being time, then it doesn't act according to how our understanding of time. It acts according to Krishna. So then even you say it's a long time, that long time happens within a short time. Or it's a short time, but it's not that a long time can't be happening within that short time. So the point is it's not actually about time. It's just about that surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna being pleased, so we get his mercy. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then, you know, so all those things. Then sometimes the question comes out about Gopa Kumar. Is this all happening with, you know, one person, one lifetime? Or is this just a story that's actually showing many, many people? Or this would take thousands of, you know, like this. These questions come up. But the point is that Krishna is the controller of time. So in a small time, a lot of time can be happening, or vice versa. So it's not that. So when it's connected to him, it doesn't follow the regular time. It doesn't follow the regular time of how you say it. It doesn't follow the regular timing. Does that make sense? So there's not a problem, because we're looking at it. No, time marches in this particular way. But the point is so much more can happen or so much less. Like, How much time does it take for an epiphany? An epiphany? You know, that eureka moment? You know what I'm saying? It's just a moment. Something, it all just clicks together, and then that's it. So someone could be thinking about something forever, and then just in that one time, then it all happens. So it's not time. It's just Krishna's mercy, how he wants it to unfold. So that's why we shouldn't worry about it. So we see the example of the gopis, Maharaj Katvanga, you know, and that, then everything's done in a moment. Or now he's coming, and then the women of Mathura are seeing him, so they're getting all that benefit. So all these things are happening. So it's not time based. That's the beauty of it. Okay, they do not exist separately in water, on earth, or in the sky, since you are the root cause of the universe, Vishvatmakay, giving shelter to it. Yasmin vijshate sarvan.
It's vidnyate, you know. Actually, the fonts are not compatible. That's the reason why it is printed like this. It's vidnyate.
So instead of an S, it should be an N with a squiggle. A squiggly N. Yasmin vigyate sarvam vigyatam bhavati. Knowing him, everything is known. Sandilya Upanishad. What can I see that is astonishing on earth, in the water or in the air? Nothing. What I have seen within you. In seeing you, I have seen everything. Right? So that's the point. As you know Krishna, then you know everything. So this idea is that, no, we have to go out and learn so many things that will then enhance our Krishna consciousness. No, you know Krishna, you know everything, because you know how everything's used. You want a particular tactical skill, technical skill, mechanical skill, then you study that, yes. But the point is how to use that in Krishna's service, that no one but devotional service can explain. So that being the higher principle, that's actually the most important. So we'll take it, let's say someone with an academic degree, that's a higher position, but actually it's not. It's how to engage. The person knows how to engage that knowledge in Krishna service. That's the higher position. Does that make sense? So that's why devotees can instruct great intellectuals, very intelligent people, because they know how to do the activity. I remember once talking with a bunch of, I think they were business students. I'm not sure if they were doing MBAs or they were doing their bachelor's in business or whatever. So they were coming and asking questions, you know, about devotional service. And so trying to make it relevant, I was explaining, you know, try to use examples that were connected with business. But, but they were just sitting very sober. So I was thinking that maybe they didn't understand. So I really got into the example, you know, making it very... much more detail or practical in that. And then after doing that, then one of them mentioned and says, well, actually, we know all that stuff. But that's the point. We know business, but we don't know how to connect it to Krishna. That's why we've come to you. We haven't come to you to hear how to do business. Does that make sense? So that's why the thing is that when you're talking to these people who actually are professional in their areas of knowledge, you just have to show enough to connect what they're doing to Krishna. You don't have to show them the details of what they're doing. So the idea is, oh, I have to know business to speak to businessmen. No, you don't. You have to know what's the essence of business and then how that connects to Krishna. That's what you have to know. You actually don't have to know business. You think, oh, but if I know business, we'll be on equal level. But we're not trying to be on an equal level. Devotional service is the superior knowledge. That's the whole thing. So we simply have to know its connection to give advice in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's why for the devotee, how much material knowledge you need, right? You go, you know, does that make sense? Whatever's happening today in the news, that's all you have to know. You know, the jargon that they're using, look that up, this and that, you know, so, you know, a little bit of time, 45 minutes or an hour and that, and you know enough to deal with them. And if you need a little bit more, okay, 3 hours worth. And if you say, no, no, you need this and that, that means you don't know what you're talking about. Because the point is they don't need to discuss that. They already know how to be successful. They know how to manage. They know how to make money. They know how to control the material energy. And they're doing it. And they're successful. That's why they're talking to us. Because they are successful and they're not happy. Because according to everyone on the planet, if you're successful, you're happy. They're successful. They're not happy. They want to know what's going on. But the people who are still trying to be successful, they're the ones that say, no, no, you have to have this and that. And if you don't have this or that, it won't work. And this. That's how you know the difference. Like that. After discussing a long time and understanding the principles, then they might ask a particular thing, and in my life this is happening, so how does that connect to Krishna? But that's after hearing all the things, accepting all the things, then they may bring that up. Does that make sense? But if you're starting off with the other, then know that you're dealing with someone who's not successful. They're wanting to be successful, they may have the potential, but they haven't become. That's the difference. Right? Because the successful person knows that success is not the cause of happiness. Right? So, Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 4 in Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 90, entitled All Forms Enter into Krishna. So the first one is in the Krama Sandarbha. The Srila Jiva Goswami points out, that's Krama Sandarbha.
Krishna
Sandarbha is the second one. The first one.
No. This is...
This is his commentary to Bhagavatam.
This is commentary to Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's Krama Sandarbha. It's called Krama Sandarbha. It's not one of the six Sandarbhas. He just calls it Krama Sandarbha. Because it's going in, going through the... It's in line, right? So Krama Sandarbha is going through verse by verse. The six Sandarbhas, then they're taking it thematically. Yes, it's not a seventh Sandarbha. It's called Sandarbha. But it's the six Sandarbhas, and then this is the commentary. So then we know the first one is there, okay, and the second one is this, okay. Krishna, who is the Chaturvyuha, has been shown to be complete. Balaram, the son of Rohini, rose from the syllable A. Prajumna, representing the dream state, arose from the syllable U. Aniruddha, representing deep sleep, arose from the syllable M. Krishna is the nada and the complete sound Om, in whom the universe is established. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 254-55. Right, so that means that Krishna is the center of all that. Then you have Shankarshad, Parjumna, and Adiruddha are the A, U, and M, and then Nada, then that's Krishna. Right, because the M has the dot. Right.
Nada also means the sound, right?
Yeah.
The complete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it says someone appears as Krishna, it means all his amshas and avatars enter him when he appears. That also proves that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Srila Sridhar Swami explains, sometimes Kiradakshaya Vishnu is said to come as Krishna. Sometimes the Purusha is said to come as Krishna. And sometimes Narayana Rishi is said to come as Krishna. And in speaking of Lakshmana as Balaram, Rama is said to come as Krishna. The hair of Narayana is said to come as Krishna. In Harivamsa, while Garuda was killing demons who had stolen Kiradakshaya's crown, Krishna appeared on earth. Recovering the crown and not seeing Vishnu anywhere on the upper planets, Garuda offered the crown to Krishna, in whom Vishnu had entered, on the top of Gomanta Mountain. Accepting one meaning and refuting another meaning, all these statements are true. Various statements become one statement by following the author's explanation. It is like resolving the order of ascension through the path of light towards liberation. and through the path of the nadis in Vedanta Sutra 431. When Swayam Bhagavan appears, all other forms enter him. This is the meaning whenever these statements occur. Right? So in other words, where you have all of them at once, at the same time as Krishna, it's then that's because all these various aspects are within Krishna. Right? And so when you have Krishna, you have everything. That's the meaning, because that's the point being made. When I seeing you, I have seen everything. So when you see Krishna, that means you've seen all of the avatars. You've seen all of his creation. You've seen everything, because everything's in him. Because he's the complete whole. Right? So then you're talking about one meeting, you're talking about the other. Each one is refuting each other because they're all true, because they're all in Krishna. So that's the whole point we have to be able to understand, because sometimes we become confused that, well, is it this or is it that? It doesn't matter. It's all Krishna, so they're all right. But depending on the situation you're applying it, you apply one particular thing and not another. Right? Krishna is the kitchen, Krishna is the bathroom. But when you're cooking, you use the kitchen. Right? That's where it applies. But you can say, but the bathroom is Krishna also. And I've got this great little brush here, you know, can I help? You know? No. You can't. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that everything is Krishna, therefore it can all be brought together. But how do we do that? Because we won't be able to do that, because it's a matter of Krishna's revelation. So only the acharyas, we follow in their footsteps. That's why we don't imitate. What they give us, that's what we follow. They don't give us, we don't follow it. Yeah?
Is that because of the saguna aspect of Krishna?
Saguna. In what context?
In the sense that everything carries a potency, so the Brahma, my body, which is this nirguna, everything is one type of energy, but we see the...
No, they don't see any energy, because there technically can't be energy, because if there's only Brahman, there can't be energy.
Okay.
Problem is there is energy, so that's where their philosophy falls apart. But because they see no qualities, because if you're going to do an activity, get a result, have a need, everything's based on qualities. Right? As we said, it starts from the qualities. What's the attitude you have when you start something? That's then what works. Right? Like if I have a devotional attitude, then the whole process works as devotional. I have a materialistic attitude, the whole thing works as materialistic. So therefore, the qualities are the root problem. Get rid of qualities, then you have no desire, no need of result, no identity, therefore no action, therefore no pain. How you say? There is a... How you say? They have a slightly different motto. It's no gain, no pain. Right? So that's how they look at it. Right? So therefore, the vice, as soon as we introduce qualities, then the whole point it comes up is, then what about misery? You know, then I'm doing devotional service. Why am I in the material world? Why am I still miserable? Or in the spiritual world, they're all there, but in separation of Krishna, it appears they're miserable. But I thought everything's supposed to be this nice, homogenous, you know, happy oneness. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point, is that the qualities then are Krishna's qualities, and so then everything is there. But if the point is all those are just the attitudes that are there in performing the activities, the real essence is Krishna's desire. His desire, what he wants. Because then various qualities are used in activities to get his desire. So that's the prominent thing. Right? So that attractive feature of Krishna, that you see is that highest position. But it's not that there's not other positions that aren't given as higher. Like Aniruddha of the four is given as the goal. So in that way it's put there. So each one has their, how they're special. But the point is Vasudeva includes all that. So that's then the Abhideya aspect. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So the mistake we might make is putting the quality over Krishna. Like I'm interested in something, so I focus on that over.
Yes, but point is it's the quality of Krishna. So the qualities are all, it's an energy, it's all serving Krishna.
like that. So that's the thing, is we want to get the advantage of Krishna's energy without Krishna. That's where our problems come. You know, everybody should be nice. I like niceness. If everyone's nice, I'll be happy. But you won't be happy, because unless you're Krishna conscious, you cannot be happy. So it has nothing to do with niceness. People are Krishna conscious, they're nice. But, you know, this devotee here wasn't nice because he's not Krishna conscious. Right? Or he's Krishna conscious in one aspect, but not in the cultural aspect. He may philosophically be correct, but culturally he's not. So it still goes back to being Krishna conscious. But it's so much easier to just focus on equality. Try to make everybody nice is much easier than trying to make everyone Krishna conscious. Making everything equal is easier than being Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. Making everything fair or just is easier than making everything Krishna conscious. Because Krishna says you can become Lord Brahma before he'll give you devotion to him. So it's actually devotion to him is the hardest. So when people take these others, it just is something that resonates with their conditioning. And so it's a goal that they can relate to and therefore then focus on and be inspired. But Krishna is the source of all inspiration. He is the cause of that inspiration. So we don't need something else. Turning to something else will only get cheated. Because you want everyone to be nice, everyone won't be nice. So, the devotees aren't nice. The karmis are so much nicer. You leave the association of devotees, then you go out with the karmis. Are the karmis nice? No. That's why you joined in the first place. You know? And then after 10, 20 years, then you figure out, well, maybe I should try hanging out with the devotees. Sri Akura concluded, "And now that I am seeing you, O Supreme Absolute Truth, in whom all reside, all amazing things on the earth, in the sky and in the water, what amazing things could I see in this world?" Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "What was amazing was not all the things I saw within you, but that form which contained everything." Right? It's not that what he saw was amazing. It's that form contains everything. That's what's amazing. Right? Does that make sense? That's it. "I'm gazing upon you, within whom all amazing things exist. There are many amazing things, but on the land and in the water. But I realize that your form standing before me is more amazing than all things of the universe." The form I see here is thousands of times more amazing than the sight of Vaikuntha with Sankarshan and all of Narayana's attendants. O Brahman, you are the Parabrahman, the Lord of all lords. By your mercy, my foolishness of thinking that you are simply my brother's son has disappeared. Okay. So he occurs on Vasudeva's side of the family. Yes. Yeah, so they see like that. And then at the next moment, the yoga maya will come, and then it'll go back to normal. So that's the thing, is for them, these tastes don't actually have a problem with each other. So they'll taste that and all that, and then he'll deal with them as uncle, and then they'll go in that way. So they have fine with either of those. But you see, it's this or that. It's not both together. Does that make sense? So it can be dwait advait. It can't be achinta beta beta tattva. That's braj. You see the difference in the realization. Right. Does that make sense? So in other words, the dwait advait, that's a goloka aspect, but not braj. Braj is achinta beta beta tattva. Then you see in dwait advait, and that works in how you say? Dwarka, Mathura, like this. Then Vishishta Dwait, Vishuddha Dwait, you know, Dwait, those all work nicely in Vaikuntha.
And Brahman?
In Brahman. Like that. But the higher ones already include the lower ones. So whatever is there in Vaikuntha, that's why we say Dwarka is Vaikuntha. But it includes everything that's in Vaikuntha and then more. Because the realization is higher. Because they can deal with two different perspectives. See, in Vaikuntha, they can only deal with one. Right? One separate thing. So they see Krishna in a particular way. Vishishta Dwait, Vishuddha Dwait, Dwait. We're different, you know, the difference, so therefore the service to the Lord, the commonality, you know, that's there, the Vishishta Dwait, the special oneness that's there in that attitude and the qualities, or Vishuddha Dwait, the purity of that oneness of the qualities and all that. So that all works nicely there. But in Dwarka, then they can see the Dwait and Adwait. Right? They can see both the similarity and the difference. So depending upon the mood, how Yoga Maya is functioning. But in Vrindavan, then they can see them both together, Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. And so the higher up you go, the easier it is. Like that. But you see that there's not a problem there. Is that the friends that he's God, what do they care? He's fun to hang out with, right? The parents is a little bit of his problem, but most of the time is that if in distress they'll turn, but otherwise to him, but otherwise then, you know, it's their business. You know, as was I think Jagannath Mishra said, someone is complaining that why he's chastising Lord Chaitanya, because he's the Supreme Lord. He says he may be the Supreme Lord, but I'm his father, and so it's my business to chastise him. Even if he's God, he's doing something wrong. It's my business to correct him. That's what the duties of a father are. Right. So that's the specialness of Braj. Is they don't have those kind of problems. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it gets up to that. Because you see at the end, once it becomes introduced, then Nanda Baba and they also have no problem with this. And the gopis, from day one, they don't have a problem with this. Like that. So that's it. Their discussion of the philosophy is any and all aspect, even the most technical, you know, or the most, you know, like Vedanta Sutra thing, they discuss that in relationship with him as a person in conjugal rasa. So that's the specialness. Yeah. The form I see here is thousands of times more amazing than the sight of Vaikuntha with Sankarsan and all of Narayana's attendants. O Brahman, you are the Parabrahman, the Lord of all Lords. By your mercy, my foolishness of thinking that you are simply my brother's son has disappeared. Right. So here, he can refer to him as Brahman because he is transcendence. But it doesn't mean that he is something void. It just means he is transcendent. So when you call Krishna Brahman, means he is transcendental to everything. That's what you're looking at. So, Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, with these words, Akura, the son of Gandini, began driving the chariot onward. At the end of the day, he arrived in Mathura with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. Footnote 3. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarked, Gandini came out of the womb only when a cow was donated to a brahmana every day. By mentioning her name, it is suggested that Akura, her son, had similar piety. Oh, okay. So his mother, like Sukadeva Goswami, he wouldn't appear until it was like made very clear that he could remain on the transcendental platform. Because inside he's Brahman realized. If he comes outside, there's so much distraction, less distraction inside. Right? And so then when that guarantee was there, then he appeared. And so same with Gandini, is only when there was a cow donated to a Brahmin every day in charity, then she would appear. Like that. So it's then suggested that Akura had that same kind of piety that she had. Verses 7 to 18. Krishna postpones his visit to Akura's home. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, whenever they passed along the road, O king, or wherever, the village people came forward and looked upon the two sons of Vasudeva with great pleasure. In fact, the villagers could not withdraw their eyes from them. Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan, having reached Mathura ahead of the chariot, had stopped at a garden on the outskirts of the city to wait for Krishna and Balaram. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Nanda and others waited until Krishna and Balaram arrived. They stared at the road from a high vantage point, since close friends worry about the safety of friends. They did not enter the city without them. Previously, they could not follow the chariot because it went more quickly. Though they did not see the marks of the chariot wheels there, they went on the straight road, but suspected that he had gone on an indirect road from seeing the marks. They thought that by going on the straight road, they would quickly meet him. When the roads joined near the city, and they did not see him, they remained gazing at the road with great longing. Because they're going, there's the straight road to Mathura. Krishna started on that. Then they went off to go to the Jamuna. But they figured that he's gone some other road because they're quicker. For them, the quickest route will be to go on the straight road. Because if they follow, they'll be ahead. They'll never catch them. So they went straight. And then they thought that they'll meet up because the roads will come back together again. Right? So now they're waiting and they're watching that road that comes from the other road to see if Krishna's come. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. After joining Nanda and the others, the Supreme Lord Krishna, the controller of the universe, took humble Akura's hand in his own and smiling, spoke as follows. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains. While seeming to smile, Krishna spoke to Akura with humility. Prasritam. He smiled in order to please Akura, but actually he was full of grief on seeing the city of Mathura, because he remembered that he had left Braja. Right? Because up to that point, they were going through the villages. So that'll remind you of Braja. But once you come to Mathura, now that means that time is over. Those pastimes are now not happening. He's not with him there. They're always happening. But Lord Krishna said, take the chariot and enter the city ahead of us. Then go home. After resting there a while, we will go to see the city. After resting here a while, we will go to see the city. Footnote 4. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, they wanted to see the city in a leisurely way. Right? Because if they go with him, it'll be official. They'll have to go like this. So they want him to go ahead because they would inform Kamsa. He'd go home. He'd take care of business there. So then he wanted to take the time leisurely, because that way he's with Nanda Baba, the cowherd boys, and that. And so then they can act in a relaxed way, because once they go, then Krishna will go into this formal mood, like that. Sri Akura said, O Master, without the two of you, I shall not enter Mathura. I am your devotee, O Lord, so it is not fair for you to abandon me, since you are always affectionate to your devotees. Come, let us go to my house with your elder brother, the coward men, and your companions. O best of friends, O transcendental Lord, in this way, please grace my house with its master. So we can see here is that if he could invite all of them to his house, then he had a good arrangement. Right? He wasn't in one of those Amsterdam studio apartments. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Krishna asked, what should I do? Akura replied, come to my house. You should go to Kamsa in order to tell him that we have arrived. Fearing such an answer from Krishna, he shows fearlessness because of experiencing Krishna's powers in the Jamuna. I will not go there. Come to my house. You too, the others and I will go first to our residences. But not seeing Krishna's consent, he then prayed with humility, do this for us who are protected by you, Sanatan. Or go to the houses and give the residents protection, Sanatan. Since the houses are without masters, by going to them, your quality of giving protection will be shown. Do not come alone, but with your brother and the cowherds, or come with your friends who protect the carts and oxen. This meaning can be derived according to the rule, Triya Saptamyor Bahula, Panini 2484. Krishna asked, why do we have to go immediately? Akura replied, those who show unconditional mercy are friends. Devotees are even better friends. Bhagavan is the best friend. Suritama. Okay. So those who show unconditional mercy are friends. Devotees are better friends. Bhagavan is the best friend. So those who don't show unconditional mercy, then it starts down from there. Sri Akura continued. I am simply an ordinary householder attached to ritual sacrifices. So please purify my home with the dust of your lotus feet. By that act of purification, my forefathers, the sacrificial fires, and the demigods will all become satisfied. By bathing your feet, the exalted Balimars attain not only glorious fame and unequaled power, but also the final destination of pure devotees. The water of the river Ganges has purified the three worlds, having become transcendental by bathing your feet. Lord Shiva accepted that water on his head, and by that water's grace, the sons of King Sagara attain to heaven. O Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe, O you whose glories it is most pious to hear and chant, O best of the Yadus, O you whose fame is recounted in excellent poetry, O Supreme Lord Narayan, I offer you my obeisances. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. O Lord of Lords, by your coming it is certain that there will be great purification, or you are worthy of worship by the Devatas. Although you are merciful, the Lords, and they make everything auspicious in that. Then by Krishna, then it will be more auspicious, so we are purified. Or Lord of Lords means the Lords are worshipped, so that means being Lord of Lords, then he is even more worshipable. Though you are merciful to them because they serve you, you should be merciful unto me since you are the Lord of the universe, Jagannatha. Krishna says, but I give mercy to pure people. Akura replies, I will become pure by hearing your glories, Punya Shravana Kirtana. Or, you will purify me greatly by letting me see you, since you purify people just by having them hear or chant your glories. I am worthy of your mercy since I have been born in the Yadu dynasty, and you are the best of the Yadus, appearing in their family. Krishna says, how can I give you mercy since you are the associate of Kamsa and committed offense in Gokula? Akura replies, you have the greatest qualities, Uttama Shloka, by which you gave a place in the spiritual world to Putana and others. Krishna says, since I am the Lord, I do this if I wish, and sometimes I do not do it. Akura replies, you are shelter of all jivas, Narayana. You may or may not give mercy, but you are the shelter of all jivas. In great zeal, Akura then falls on the ground and grasps Krishna's feet. I offer respects to you, Namaha. He prays only to Krishna since he considers Balaram to be non-different from him because of the two brothers have the same great affection for each other and because Krishna is the most prominent. The Supreme Lord said, I will come to your house with my elder brother, but first I must satisfy my friends and well-wishers by killing the enemy of the Yadu clan. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord says, O Akura, you have correctly called me the best of the Yadus. Therefore, first I will kill Kamsa, the violator of the Yadu clan, and then I will come to your house. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. I will come with Balaram. Krishna would not come with the other cowherds, since they would not stay that long in Mathura. When will that be? I will come when I have killed the enemy of the Yadus. He does not directly mention Kamsa because of Kamsa's inauspiciousness and fear of revealing the plan. I show affection for the Yadus by freeing Vasudeva and others. It is not proper to come to your house and receive a welcome when the Yadus are suffering and my parents are in prison. Right? So, because in he's looking at it from him being the Supreme Lord and worship of the devotees, but because he said he's the best of the Yadus in his prayer, then as the best of the Yadus, he has to take care of the Yadus. And so how could he be having very nice reception at the house of Akura when his parents and others are imprisoned and suffering so much? So the first thing that has to be done is the removal of the thorn Kamsa, so that then they all can be satisfied. Then he can come for, reception at Akura's house. Right? Plus, the coward boys, they're going to be there short time, so he'll take them on a tour now. Then after he kills Kamsa, then they can all go back. So that way, because it's expected they came that day, the next day they would be there, but the next day they would all come back. So they all have to go back at that time. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, "Thus addressed by the Lord, Akura entered the city with a heavy heart. He informed King Kamsa of the success of his mission and then went home." Verses 19 to 23, description of the city of Mathura. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, "Lord Krishna desired to see Mathura. So toward evening, he took Lord Balaram and the cowherd boys with him and entered the city. The Lord saw Mathura with its tall gates and household entrances made of crystal, its immense archways and main doors of gold, its granaries and other storehouses of copper and brass, and its impregnable moats. Yeah, because copper and all that, that will, it's antibacterial, so then you can't get fungus and other things growing on your grains. So, copper is... beautifying the city were pleasant gardens and parks. The main intersections were fashioned of gold, and there were mansions with private pleasure gardens, along with guild halls and many other buildings. Mathura resounded with the calls of peacocks and pet turtle doves, who sat in the small openings of the lattice windows and on the gem-studded floors. Right, so turtle doves, not pigeons. Right, right. You want to feed the birds, feed the turtle doves, not the pigeons. Right. And also, okay, they sat in the small openings of the lattice windows and on the gem-studded floors, and also on the columned balconies and on the ornate rafters in front of the houses. These balconies and rafters were adorned with vaidurya stones, diamonds, crystal quartz, sapphires, coral, pearl, and emeralds. All the royal avenues and commercial streets were sprinkled with water, as were the side roads and courtyards. And flower garlands, newly grown sprouts, parched grains, and rice had been scattered about everywhere. Gracing the houses, doorways were elaborately decorated pots filled with water, which were bedecked with mango leaves, smeared with yogurt and sandalwood paste, and encircled by flower petals and ribbons. Near the pots were flags, rows of lamps, bunches of flowers, and the trunks of banana and betel nut trees." So all this is auspicious. And this is at, you know, all the various houses at all the corners where the roads meet, all the, you know, so it's a very nice place. So we can see is up to now it's described the different things that they're made of because of the niceness of the colors and the brightness and then so much of the natural beauty. Like that's the thing. You know, it wasn't describing how because by mentioning that the archways, the doors, the moats, then you can understand it's well protected like that. Because if it says the archways, then that's the entrance. So it's a very solid door. So
Usually when there are festivals, then you know, these things are being done. You know, they go to visit.
There's a festival, yes. But here, every day is a festival. So So you can imagine what it looks like on a festival day. So this is daily. It looks like this. So this is opulence. Right,
mm. Like that. Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj used to say that when he was a child, all Kolkata roads used to be cleaned by
water. Yes, yes, twice a day. Twice a day. You know all that water that comes up on the street from the old part of the city, yes. Like that. Before those were hydrants, and then they would twice a day they come along with what do you call it? Hoses. And connect them and wash down the streets and then move down to the next one and wash. So the whole city was washed twice a day. That's how clean Calcutta was.
Mm. When was that?
That was before the Bangladesh War. After the Bangladesh War, then all the Bangladeshis came. And then they were going to give them a place on, you know, down in the Andaman so they'd have their own land and could develop. But then the Communist Party saw the advantage that they could get votes because they couldn't get in power. They were just, no one wanted them in power. And so then they said, no, they're trying to trick you. You stay with us, we'll take care of you. And so those people that are still living on the streets in Calcutta, those are the ones that came over from Bangladesh that the Communist Party said that they would get them all nicely situated. Like that. And so then Calcutta has been a dump since then. Like that. Before it was called the Palace, City of Palaces. It was
you know, in how you could say, in name only, called the second best, you know, city in the British Empire. It was probably the first, but the Brits aren't going to acknowledge that, so they called it the second. Right? Like that. Because you see, is the grand part of London is not that big. You know, it's around Buckingham Palace and Regent Park and that area. But Calcutta was much more spread out. And everywhere. Now and again you see it, that there'll be an old house that they're really big and all that, but most of them have been sold and they put up high rises. But now and again you can see a few of them. Like that. Like in Alipur or stuff like that. So that's what Calcutta looked like more before. Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book writes, after Akura's departure, Lord Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys entered Mathura to see the city. They observed that the gate of Mathura was made of first-class marble, very well constructed, and that the doors were made of pure gold. Right? That's heavy. You can't just come along and push those open. Right? There were gorgeous orchards and gardens all around, and the whole city was encircled by canals, so that no enemy could enter very easily. They saw that all the crossroads were decorated with gold, and there were copper and brass storehouses for stocking grain. And there were many rich men's houses, all appearing symmetrical, as if constructed by one engineer. Because in the Vedic concept, symmetry is where beauty is. Right? So the Gothic kind of concept would not necessarily be your natural standard. Right? You understand? Yeah. Okay. The houses were decorated with costly jewels, and each and every house had nice compounds of trees bearing fruits and flowers. The corridors and verandas of the houses were decorated with silk cloth and embroidery work in jewels and pearls. In front of the balcony windows were pigeons and peacocks walking and cooing. All the grain dealers' shops within the city were decorated with different kinds of flowers and garlands. Newly grown grass and pleasing flowers like narcissus and roses. The entrance doors of the houses were decorated with water pots filled with water. A mixture of water, yogurt, sandalwood pulp, and flowers was sprinkled all around the doors, which were also decorated with burning lamps of different sizes. All over the doors were decorations of fresh mango leaves and silk festoons. Right? So you see, it's just very nice, auspicious. They put in the effort like that, and it just makes the whole place very nice because that consciousness is there. Nowadays, no consciousness is put into anything. You go down this major city streets, and it's just the same as it was yesterday. No one's putting in any effort. So it just has that emptiness to it. But here you see is they're putting in that effort. Every day, the people of the house, they're putting in that effort. The city is making sure that all the things that are under its control are taken care of. And so the whole city has that consciousness going into it to make it very beautiful and make it very auspicious. That makes for a nice environment. Right? So that beautiful environment, then that's what we see. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when sometimes we say that in the Vedic times there are cities, but...
There was?
Cities. There were cities, right?
They were cities, yeah, but they looked nice. They didn't look like these cities. Right? So it's nicely done, like that. It would be like, let's say, if you took a New York Central Park and you have the roads on the two sides where all the rich people live and all that and that kind of thing, that would be a little bit more representative, though not exactly. Like that. That was a city. This thing where you just crab everything in, that's called a slum. Like that. Right now, the parts of the slum that fall apart, now the contemporary term is slum. But the whole thing's a slum. Yeah. What to do? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti ki, Sarvita Gaur ki.